If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
I want you to think back. What was the roughest game you played when you were in school? It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy. Did you play Red Rover, Nikki?
Yeah, we played Red Rover.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Sam, were you like me? Did you play Murder Ball or Butts Up with your friends?
Murder Ball. And
Knuckles also. Knuckles was pretty rough back
in
the day.
Yeah. So those games, they would never fly now, right? But there's a couple Quebec elementary schools that are going to experiment with something called rough play zones. We've been hearing Kim talk about it in the news. It's where kids can basically shove, wrestle, grab, do whatever they want, kind of, to take out their energy. There's no hitting or kicking or biting. That, you know, won't be a thing. But this is actually going to happen. The principal of one of the schools said there's, you know, there's certain students where it's not enough for them to just run around. They need more to get their energy out. And they're seeing good results.
And I don't disagree that it's not enough. Like, I agree that children are restless right now, that sitting in a school classroom for what, 8 hours, 7 hours a day is just too much for anybody. And I do believe that children need another outlet. I do think that meditation might be a better way to go about it. They've done this at schools and they've seen amazing results. They've seen an increase in attendance, in attention, higher grades. Kids from unstable homes were able to use school as a break. There was better mental health, more self-awareness, and the students had better emotional development as well. I think this is kind of ludicrous, like the idea that they're going to set up a place where kids can be rough and wrestle. Not that you can't do it at home if you do that kind of thing, but it's only innocent, this kind of play amongst kids. It's only innocent up until a certain age. Mm-hmm. Around the age of 10 or 11, it becomes an opportunity for boys especially, to establish a dominance hierarchy, you know?
King of the castle type of thing.
Exactly. And that's going to cause so many issues. Mm-hmm. You know, the topic of toxic masculinity continues to come up, and it's like, how is the supervisor going to decide, oh, it's just fun play, or oh no, this is actually a situation where a boy is picking on a weaker boy, which is going to happen?
Well, I mean, just like meditation might not be for everybody, I think these rough play zones also might not be for everybody. And yeah, they are being monitored, and they're going to have to be monitored closely. You know, now with all this snow, I remember back when I was a kid, they would pile up the snow at the back of the schoolyards, and people would go onto these big massive snow piles, and you'd try to push each other off and stuff like that. And you know, nobody really got hurt, and that was all part of kind of growing up. You were kids, you had all this energy, you know, specifically we were boys and we wanted to push each other, and that was kind of what we did. We didn't fight, there was no hitting, there was no, you know, violence toward anybody. It was just a way to take
out
energy.
Maybe because you weren't one of the weaker boys, though, you didn't notice that there was violence or that it was causing any issues.
There wasn't any issues. It wasn't like we got in trouble for it or anything like that.
But I'm just saying, if there's like another little boy who this is hurting his confidence, like it's going to be very difficult for someone to intervene.
Well, but I mean, there could always be something bad that could happen, right? Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going to avoid situations just because something bad could happen, then you're going to avoid every situation.
Also, what is it teaching them when it comes to like later in life? You know, school is really the only preparation we have for the workplace. Mm-hmm. So if this is how boys get used to being able to take out their aggression, what's going to happen the first time they have a job and they feel some sort of emotion and they have no idea how to filter it or how to take care of it except for fighting?
We shouldn't say it's only for boys. I mean, it's probably, let's face it, there's probably going to be more boys than girls in these rough play zones, but it's for any kid, really. We should mention that, too.
I think it's a disaster waiting to happen.
There are so
many ways for guys to get their energy out, to play rough. You can play football. You can do wrestling. There's a million sports.
Not when you're an 8-year-old kid, you're not wrestling.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what this is, though. That's what this is. This is a rough play. This is a rough zone where, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we would wrestle, you know, me and my friends, we would wrestle. This is what this is.
Don't get me wrong. I wish that I was kind of roughed up a little bit more to give me some, you know, tougher skin or to give me some of those instincts, but until something tragic happens, sure, it's fine, but I'm telling you.
And I just think of the confidence, like how that's going to play on the boys who feel like they need to be a part of it, but they're the weaker one and they're constantly going to be seen as the weaker one. Kim Kieran, you're a mom. I'm curious to know what you think.
I agree with it.
You like it?
Yeah, I mean, my daughter's school has the bikes and the meditation, and the teachers this week are like, we need more.
You need more.
We need more. It's not enough. And the rough housing zones, you need to say yes to go in it. You can't have a friend drag you in there. If you don't want to go in, you don't go in.
But if you feel, but what about peer pressure? You know what I mean? Especially boys, the boys who don't want to fight but feel like they should.
Yeah, but then there's some they're going to fight anyway. So they're out in the yard fighting and getting in trouble. Yeah, why not put those that are going to fight in the yard in an area where you can monitor them and let the rest go play with
them? I agree. There's peer pressure anyway. What's organized hockey, right? Kids hockey, there's rough housing in that too. And that's a way to take out their energy. but there's a little pushing and shoving in that too in different sports, right?
All right, what do you think? You can send us a text at 92925. It's a hot topic. They're streaming in already. Sam, not a fan. Kim and Andy, you both said that you're a fan of the idea. And people are honestly split on our text line at 92925. Caroline, what do you think?
Against it.
You're against it.
Yeah. My daughter is a small, scrawny, tiny little thing. Listen, like I said in my text, right now they barely look after the kids. Monitors are busy on their phone, gossiping, chit-chatting. What makes you think they're going to do that now?
How do you really feel?
Really feel? I really, really hope my school goes against it if ever she's with the English school board. Right. It's stupid. It's a stupid idea.
If your daughter's, if the monitors at her school paid more attention and they were actually watching the kids, would you be a little bit, not to say on board, but would you be a little bit more comfortable with this idea?
Maybe a little bit more comfortable, but right now, like I said, even though after you complain a couple of times, you know, I do pay a fee at the school for the monitors to look after the kids. Mm. They'll do it the first couple of times, but then after that, forget it. You know, it's going to get out of hand. Somebody's going to get really, really hurt. And then it's going to be, you know, when the milk has been spilled and it's too late, you can't do anything about it. Somebody's going to get hurt.
It's going to be a lawsuit or something.
It's stupid, stupid, stupid.
Okay. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
I don't think she's a big fan.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Lisa, what do you think about the idea?
I hate the thought of fighting and all that scares me. But at the same time, there are students. I'm a daycare teacher. There are students that require that extra jostling to get out that energy. And then they become so much calmer. As long as it's in a safe zone, I'm okay with it. Kids need to learn risk.
Yeah, I think you're right. I was one of those kids that had a little bit of extra energy. And I know you can't use any one person for an example for everybody. But I have never been in a fight in my life. But I needed that extra, you know, that extra ability to take out some of my energy.
Is this the best way, though? Is this, like, the best idea moving forward?
Well, like I said, you can't use one person as an example for everybody, but it worked for me.
I don't think it's the best. I don't think it's the only solution. I love the idea of meditation, of having bicycles in class, bouncing balls to get in, to sit on. I love all those ideas, but I also think we need to think of all the students, and some students need that extra little jostle.
Push. Gotcha. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Have a great day, guys.
You
I love
too.
You.
Oh, we love you. Thanks for listening.
I think it's a good idea. I'm on board with it. I hope nobody gets hurt. It's got to be monitored really, really closely.
Spoiler
That's
alert,
the thing.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Someone's going to get hurt.
We get hurt anyway, but of course someone is going to get hurt.
But you know what? The monitors are really going to have to pay attention.
Yes.
Really, it's going to be on them now.
Absolutely. And to be fair, there are a lot of great monitors out there too.
Yeah,
there are some great people taking care of the
kids. Of course. Someone texted, why not just introduce judo to the schools?
Seriously.
It's not that
Give
bad.
Them swords. Give the children swords.
The Nikki Sam and Andy Replay Podcast.
Flirting at work, is it ever okay? And if it is okay, where exactly is that line?
Mm.
Good morning. It's Nikki, Sam, and Andy, and we got an email from Susan.
Yes, it says, "Hey, to Nikki, Sam, and Andy. I'm in a relationship, and I have never cheated in my life, but there's this guy at work who I flirt with. I have no intention of it going any further than our playful comments, but I've never really had a work relationship like this in the past. I spoke to a friend about it, and she says it's totally normal. But do you think it's crossing a line? I'd love if you could have the conversation on your show. Love listening to you every morning. Thanks, Susan."
Oh, well, thank you. Mm. I see where she's coming from. But here's the thing. I find flirting in the workplace so common. Mm-hmm. I find it happens a lot. So, sometimes I'll see conversations happening and I'm like, I wonder if that was my boyfriend or my fiance or my husband, how I'd feel about him having that conversation without me there. So I understand that I can bring up some jealousy or some feelings in people at the thought of their significant other if you're in a relationship flirting at work. But I just think it's something you can't fight. I think it's almost human nature at this point that people flirt sometimes, whether it's a man flirting with a woman or a woman flirting with a woman or a man. I just think it's so common.
I mean, I get it. I mean, I think if once you're in a committed relationship, you shouldn't have to flirt. I mean, I don't really find that I flirt with people at work. I've been in a committed relationship for a long time now. Before, when I was single, yeah, sure, I probably flirt with people at work, probably not without even thinking about it. But now I'm really conscious about it because What if my wife was doing that with a guy at her workplace? Just flirting, nothing else, but just flirting. I probably wouldn't be a big fan of it either.
You've been married for 6 months, so let's give it some time.
Still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like the attention of like the casual flirt at work? You know, a lot of times days can be boring, and like you need a little bit of excitement in your day. It's not to say that, you know, as soon as someone flirts with you, that you have to like disclose right off the bat, I am in a relationship, and how dare you? We indulge it. It's part of, like you said, it's kind of human nature. We like the attention, so I don't think.
Can't you get your attention from your significant other, though?
Yes, you can, but for 8 hours a day when you're stuck at the office.
You spend a lot of time at work. Like, when you consider a lot of people spend more time with their coworkers than they spend with their significant others.
I've had, like, my girlfriend has had people in her past jobs flirt with her, and she tells me this, and I kind of, like, laugh it off. I think,
yeah.
First of all, I think to myself, that's great, you're getting attention, people like you in the office, like, yeah. that's great. Now,
plus, maybe it makes you step it up at home, because you're like, okay, she's getting attention at
bingo,
work.
Bingo, bingo.
Okay. Sure. I like that.
Okay, but hold on. So she has people flirting with her. What if she told you that she flirts back?
I know she does.
She does.
Well, that's because you don't do anything for Valentine's for, which we learned a couple weeks ago.
You've got to get it elsewhere. I get it.
I think it's human nature. I think it ends up happening inevitably in most all situations. And I think sometimes it even comes up when you're in a relationship while you're with your significant other. You know, mm-hmm. You'll see things like that happening. And I don't think it should go any further. But we'd like to know what you think. You can text us at 92925 and we'll see what Montreal's consensus on this is.
You're playing a dangerous game here, Susan.
I'll tell you now, my girlfriend wishes that more people flirted with me at work because it would make her, you know, feel a bit more jealous.
Yeah, that's going to have to be Andy because I'm not doing it.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, it was Oscars night. So what were people talking about? First of all, not everyone was happy with The Green Book winning Best Picture. The movie in itself is very nuanced, and a lot of people say that it's the opposite of progressive. So a lot of people had an opinion about that movie winning. I'm really embarrassed to say I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to watch it now and see if I understand what they're talking about. There was also upset over Glenn Close not winning Best Actress for The Wife. Yeah, she actually holds the all-time record for the most Oscar nominations without a win.
So people thought that it should have been like a pity win?
No, they said she was actually like unbelievable and brilliant in this film and that she was robbed when Olivia Colman won.
But I'm sure Olivia Colman, I didn't see her movie either, but I'm sure she did an amazing job too. I mean, it's not like Glenn Close was the only good actress in this category. Lady Gaga was in this category and she was awesome too, right?
I just think she's like the new Leonardo DiCaprio when people are like, it doesn't make sense when you consider how much talent she has that she hasn't won an Oscar.
She doesn't need an Oscar. She's already so esteemed in everyone's mind.
True.
You know, she will always be one of the best actors of all time, period.
She should listen to Drake. Drake's like, you don't need these awards, right?
Yeah, and then Drake gets cut off.
Leading up to the awards, people were talking about the fact that they decided not to have a host this year. I don't think it made that much of a difference, personally.
Yeah, it didn't make the show better or worse, really. It was just,
Maya Rudolph, Tina Fey, and Amy Poehler opened the show, and they were amazing together.
So just a quick update for everybody in case you're confused. There is no host tonight. There won't be a popular movie category, and Mexico is not paying for the wall. And don't worry, Bradley. After four kids, I, too, have peed myself at the Grammys. Those cheese sandwiches from the Fire Festival.
I just want to join their group. I love the three of them together.
They should have been hosts. They would have been great.
Absolutely. Some people were calling Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga's performance of Shallow the best performance in Oscars history. It was honestly so beautiful, and it didn't help with the rumors that maybe there is like a little something happening between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
You are so on board with them getting together.
I just think that their chemistry is undeniable. As they were singing, their heads got closer and closer together. They were just leaning on each other. I could feel it.
They're performing.
I could feel the sparks. And Lady Gaga continued to gush about him as well.
Bradley, there is not a single person on the planet that could have sang this song with me but you. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you so much.
Come on. People normally aren't that emotional on their wedding days.
I know Green Book. Green Book, you know, they won Best Picture, and there's a lot of people who won Best Actor and Best Actress. It was really her night, though, wasn't it?
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. It's Lady Gaga's world we're living in right now, I think. And she's never without words of wisdom.
If you are at home and you're sitting on your couch and you are watching this right now, all I have to say is that this is hard work. I've worked hard for a long time, and it's not about, you know, it's not about winning, but what it's about is not giving up. If you have a dream, fight for it. There's a discipline for passion, and it's not about how many times you get rejected or but you fall down or you're beaten up. It's about how many times you stand up and are brave and you keep on going. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. She said that she used to have a boyfriend who was really hard on her and said she'd never be successful. And she told him, when we're not together, you won't be able to order a cup of coffee at a deli without hearing or seeing me. And she was so right.
I love it.
How amazing is that? One thing Lady Gaga did not win last night was the red carpet, though. It was Billy Porter. Did you guys see this? He completely shut down the red carpet.
He's one of the correspondents, I think, for ABC.
He's a singer. He's a Tony Award winner, a Grammy winner as well. He came out wearing what was half tuxedo and half gown, and everybody was talking about it. Did you like it? What did you think? He was wearing a gown.
It was a little jarring at first. I didn't really know where my eyes should turn, but I mean, good for him. I mean, like that's the platform and the venue to do it at, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm watching, I'm like, that is so cool. And then I thought about whether or not I'd want my boyfriend. Like, what if I was dating somebody who wore a gown?
You're walking with him on the red carpet. Yeah.
Like, I have a couple more questions for him after that.
I'd still marry him. He's gay, so he wouldn't marry me, but I'd marry him still.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
Online at thebeat925.ca.
Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play.
And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30.
Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 925.